And now, Drive presents an explanation of the spiritual world. This is The Holy Heretics.
Oh, lovely. I'll pop the kettle on.
Now, The Holy Heretics, Father Chris Bedding and the vicar's husband, Wurzel Montague, separately and together, two people of faith and great spiritual depth and out of hours, comedians who poke fun at the peculiarities and quirks of that faith. And every few weeks this year, they're going to come to the studio to broaden my shallow mind about the spiritual world and answer pressing questions about who we are and why we are here. Hello, gents.
Hi, Jeffrey.
G'day, Jeff. It is great to be back for another year.
And I tell you what, at the end of it, we've got a little kicker, a little bit of excitement. We want to go to your church to do an Easter outside broadcast.
At St. Cuthbert's.
At St. Cuthbert's.
Wow. We'll have just tarted the place up for you. We're doing a restoration at the moment.
I want us to do it to this multi-denominational thing where we just pose the question, why does this matter?
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. As long as there's no Presbyterians. Yeah, we wouldn't allow one of them across the threshold.
Excellent church politics. Church politics. I want to begin with what I thought was a really interesting story this week. When is a church no longer a church? Last weekend marked the end of more than 150 years of Anglican worship at Pinjarra's St. John's Church. It was deconsecrated and the keys were handed back to the community. How do you deconsecrate something?
Oh, well, you actually need a lot of black fabric and jam, strawberry jam. So a lot of people don't realise those are the two key ingredients.
Mm, you've got to vacuum out the magic. Now, we should point out at this point, this is a particularly Anglican or sort of Roman Catholic or Orthodox question.
Yeah.
See, in the denomination I'm part of these days, Jeff, such a thing is just a nonsense. The idea that the building's more magic than anywhere else. So this is all part of the, and this is part of the fact of referring to the buildings as churches.
Mm-hmm.
Because a church, as we know, Christopher, is a group of people.
Well, that's certainly one way of looking at it. Mm-hmm, of course, also the space is sacred. Space has power.
Is it more sacred than the space outside?
Yeah, it is actually. And it's not I think it's fair to say a different kind of holiness inside a church building is how we would perceive it. So that you can be holy anywhere. You're being very holy right now, Jeff, in the studio. But the act of deconsecration, all jokes aside, is about saying this is no longer set aside for this particular purpose, but has a new purpose.
Okay. You deconsecrate a church, the idea of a handover ceremony. Does God leave the house when the congregation leaves?
I think what happens, you know, really, the greatest spiritual effect is that the land tax status changes. So that paperwork has to be handed from you know, the bishop to, like, the chair of the local shire council.
Yeah.
And once that's happened, then Jesus racks off. I think that's pretty much how it works.
Yeah, I mean, it's not uncommon, of course, for a church to be transformed, and also for mosques and synagogues. As the Fremantle Synagogue is about to become a kind of,
that's so,
you know,
interesting, isn't it? Now, the Fremantle Synagogue, it was the first synagogue in Fremantle. Mm-hmm. I think it was built in about 1907 or something. Used for a very small period of time, the very small Jewish population in Fremantle. Mm-hmm. They then went to prayers in the city, so it had a whole range of different uses. It is still a magnificent heritage listed building. And it's going to become a restaurant and a bar.
Yeah, it's a pub, Jeff. We're going to have to, we just say it.
Do we lose anything here?
I don't think we do, because if you look historically, all around the world, there are former churches and mosques and synagogues and temples that have been appropriated for a new purpose. It's a bit like when you live in a house. If you have five kids, you've got to move to a bigger house. If your kids all leave home, you move to a smaller house. Churches are mobile creatures. We are a pilgrim people. So it doesn't worry me. In fact, I think it's good that the church building is going to live on with some new use as a kind of community.
Absolutely, because those beautiful, because, you know, these heritage listed buildings, the aesthetics don't go away, the beautiful architecture doesn't go away, and so if it becomes a restaurant or a cafe or a B&B, that people still enjoy the building, they can have access to it.
If people are being sick out the front of it, it doesn't matter.
Well, that's midnight mass.
People have been sick out the front of my church many times after my sermons.
Now, I want to bring to your attention, ladies and gentlemen, the Pope has released an app. Ahead of his trip to Panama for a Catholic Youth Festival, the app Click to Pray is available on both Apple and Android devices in the hope it will allow more than a billion Catholics to pray with the Pope online. What do you make of that?
Look, I'm pleased to see that His Holiness is entering the digital age. He's been on Twitter for a while. I do follow the Pope on Twitter.
You told me just earlier off air, Jeff, I had to ask the question, does the Pope tweet in Latin?
Of course he tweets in Latin. He only tweets in Latin, and then it gets translated into other lesser languages.
Do you understand the Latin?
I actually do, but I'm not showing off or anything. I just went to the right kind of school. this app, I actually want to commend you. I think it's a great idea to sort of be in the digital space. If you're going to do religion, do it where the people are, and that's in the digital world. I don't think it's going to be the most interesting app in the world. Mm. You know, I can't imagine it being sort of world-beating in terms of content, but he's a lovable character. You know, why not interact with him via an app?
Can they actually interact back with Papa Frank?
I assume you can send Papa Frank a message anytime, day or night.
Nana's sick, can you pray for her, please?
Yeah, and you might say, look, Papa Frank, like, got a bit of an issue at work, what do I do? And he'll tweet, like, you know, message you back within the app.
You are so mischievous. There are apparently some quite nice images of him sort of tapping an iPad at Sunday prayers to sort of kickstart the whole thing. I had a look, ladies and gentlemen. If you go to iTunes or anything like that, you'll find it.
Yeah.
Under the lifestyle category.
Perfect.
Love it.
Perfect.
Love it.
Is that okay? Is religion a lifestyle or is it the stuff of life?
It's not a lifestyle. I think it's just because nobody quite knows how to categorise. Like when you go to a bookstore, they'll often have religion in with self-help. Religion's the exact opposite of self-help. It's someone else sort of helping you, but let's not quibble.
Holy Heretics here on this Tuesday afternoon. They'll be coming right throughout the year, and these plans we've got for Easter should be really good fun. Father Chris Bedding and Wurzel Montague here. Now, can we talk about the McJesus exhibit causing some tension in Israel? What it was a sculpture depicting the Ronald McDonald clown on a cross. Mm-hmm. It was part of an exhibition about consumerism and religion. The work was by the Finnish artist Jani Leininen. On Friday, protesters threw fire bombs at the Haifa Museum of Art. Three police officers were injured. Should we be surprised or not surprised when people express themselves very strongly if they think that someone has so profoundly injured a symbol like this?
Yeah, well, to be honest, we've got to look sensitively at the local context. This was not an art exhibition in Perth or somewhere in America or England. This is in Israel, and the people protesting are Arabic Christians, are Palestinian Christians. And these are people who are seriously, you know, oppressed and got some stuff to be tense about. So what I would laugh off and actually think is a brilliant provocative piece of art, the idea of putting Ronald McDonald on a cross. You know, if I lived in that world, I might just take that as a bit of a kick in the guts.
It's interesting, is it? Would a lot of people see it as pure provocation? Because, to be honest, it's not that hard. You could probably argue that this is pretty undergraduate stuff. It's not that hard to juxtapose imagery in this way. Do you see it as a provocation, Chris?
Look, I don't know what the artist's intention was. And bear in mind, this artwork has been displayed all over the world, and it's part of a series, so it's not meant to be viewed on its own. I don't know that the artist necessarily intended to provoke Christians, but I do wonder if the gallery might have seen this as a way to sort of make its mark in that already quite tense community. I can tell you from my limited experience in the Holy Land, anything to do with religion is going to upset somebody there. So they must have known that there would be this response. Maybe they're not entirely displeased with that, with that overly aggressive response to their art.
Other pieces at this exhibition depicted Jesus and the Virgin Mary as Ken and Barbie dolls.
Yeah. Yeah, like as a piece of art, I don't have a problem with that. The question is whether that already tense area benefits from that art. You know, does it add something to a community, or is it all it's going to do is just be like a red rag to a bull?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's something, a lot different in the US or somewhere. Or, you can have a great conversation there about whether Jesus has been commodified, commercialized. But yeah, in that particular kind of, powder keg zone, I don't know.
We've been here before many, many times. Mm. I remember back in the 1980s, there was a piece of art called Piss Christ. Mm-hmm. This is essentially a small crucifix submerged in a glass tank of the artist's wee.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I remember the notoriety surrounding that.
Oh,
and it was huge. And again, Can it be defended by saying this is provocative art, I'm making a statement, or can it be dismissed as, no, this is just an angry provocation?
I think the thing about art is that nobody is forced to consume it as a rule, unless it's public art, and public art's usually bland. Mm. But if you come and see a show, like we put on a show regularly, and if you come and see it, you've bought your ticket, you've submitted to the artistic process. If you don't like it, that's your choice. But to be grossly offended by it, I think, is a bit of a stretch. So if you're going to buy a ticket to an exhibition to see Piss Christ or to see Ronald McDonald on the cross, then you're going, there's a bit of a contract. And I think that needs to be recognised in all of these situations. If you're going to go into that situation in order to get offended, maybe stay home, maybe read the Bible.
Have you got a friend show this year?
Well, we are doing one show in Geraldton.
How did that happen, Chris?
I don't really know, but explain we're going it. Yeah, in a
because,
couple of
because
weeks.
If you did have one, you would have plugged it.
We would have by now. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and I'm sure it would have been good.
Oh, look, if you're in Geraldton and or visiting Geraldton, go to Funtavia and see our show on the 9th of February.
Okay, now this is a real challenge because this makes no sense to me. I guess you'd call it another extraordinary example of faith and devotion. A teenager translated both a verse from the Bible and the Quran and injected it into himself.
Mm.
Can you explain this to me at all?
Look, I don't understand the science of it. Do you understand the science of it, Wurzel?
I read about three articles explaining the science and mm-hmm. I still can't.
Okay, can so, I try and tell you?
What, have a go, yeah, go have on. A go.
My understanding is, he says, having plagiarised a few articles, 16-year-old mm-hmm. French high school student bioengineered DNA based on Bible and Quran verses, and then injected them into his leg. He used a technique known as recombinant adeno-associated virus. To write the code into the DNA of a virus.
Yeah, so that makes perfect sense. Yeah. You've explained it like that.
Yeah, no, that's good. Very clear.
Look, I want to commend this young man for, first of all, understanding the science, because we are highly intelligent grown adults and we haven't got the first clue. So good on him for giving science a go. I don't know why verses from the Bible and the Quran are relevant, but then I suppose he could have used a recipe book and got the same result.
Well, let me ask you both. If there was one verse that you would most like to be part of you, mm-hmm. Father Chris and Wurzel, what might it be?
What do you reckon, Wurzel?
From the scriptures you're talking about here, from the Bible?
Not just a verse from a Hallmark card.
Right, okay, okay. Look, there's something in Ecclesiastes 9 that I'm going to ruin this. I should have looked it up beforehand, but it's something
it's
like
a question without notice.
Yeah, yeah. So it's something like, so enjoy your wine, enjoy your food, live out your days with your life because death is coming. It's to that extent. I paraphrased it horribly, but I'm going pretty good.
I like that. Good bit of philosophy.
Yeah, eat, drink, have a nice relationship, and then die.
Yeah,
Father Chris.
Jesus wept.
Just the two words.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, no, I think I'd have that injected into me. And because it does kind of summarise how I sort of feel about the world a lot of the time. Yeah.
And it is the shortest sentence in the Bible.
No, in the English Bible. That was pretty racist. What you
wow.
said then. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Newsflash, the Bible wasn't written in English, so.
Excuse me?
No, it's a big truth to drop on you, but it was actually written.
Oh, next you're going to go on with this Jesus spoke Aramaic thing. It's just a conspiracy.
Yeah, we've got to have boundaries.
Yeah.
And ladies and gentlemen, holy heretics, to finish up today, what's been going on between the Greek Orthodox Church and the Greek government?
Oh, they're divorcing.
That's it?
Yeah, they're out the door. They've gone, you know what, we're both Greek, but we don't want to be friends anymore. Mm. So the fascinating part of this is that Greek Orthodox priests in Greece are classified as civil servants, mm-hmm. right? So they're government employees, and they're classified in that way. And in this deal, secret deal that's being struck, the priests are going to have to just be boring old regular priests who are just ordinary members of society, which is outrageous, frankly. Can you imagine stopping being a civil servant?
Why has it come to this?
I think it's to do with properties that the government wants to sell or lease, and then they're going to split the proceeds halfway. So straight, this is going to shock you, but it's a religious issue that's really about money. Unheard of.
And I think generational change, there's a lot of heat being directed at Alexis Tsipras, the Prime Minister over there, who's a non-believer. Mm. It's a big deal.
Who we know beat Roger Federer in the fourth round of the Australian
exactly,
Open.
Exactly, that guy. And so he's, I mean, and him and people around him have been questioning the whole, you know, enmeshment of church and state in Greece for some time. So, the, you know, I had no idea until this emerged that they were so intertwined.
Oh, look, as the local rep of the Church of England, I fully support civil servant clergy.
Now, so how would you feel if we were to do a special Holy Heretics OB from your Darlington church? Easter Thursday, is that
it's called Maundy Thursday or Holy Thursday?
See, yeah.
Get the lingo right.
Well, you know, that's, I don't have that.
Yeah.
Holy Thursday, we could pose the question, does this matter and why? Do you reckon we can do that?
Yeah, of course we can.
Yeah.
Get a few people along, you know?
Yeah, look, people from all different...
we'll get Mavis to bake some scones.
Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah, no, oh, we'll put on a big spread. And I think there's going to be foot washing, Jeff. I haven't mentioned this to
you. Would there be singing?
We can have some singing, but the foot washing is a non-negotiable because that's the day for foot washing on Holy Thursday. Yeah.
I'm not that comfortable taking off my shoes and other people's
Jeff,
houses.
Well, Jeff, I think newsflash.
Yeah. You've got to respect our customs.
Yep, I'm getting on my knees.
Father Chris Bedding and Wilson Montague, thank you both very much. They are the Holy Heretics. Stand by for more information about that Maundy Thursday OB, which should be an absolute cracker. You're with Jeff. This is The Drive Program.